Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 3 to 5 especially is well known. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5 is our text tonight. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Tonight I'm preaching on continuing commitment. I read how a mother had visited her son at college, and she was very disturbed at seeing the suggestive pictures on the walls of his room. She didn't say anything, but she hung a picture representing Christ up there with the others. The next time she visited her son in college and in his room, when she came, the other pictures were gone, and only the one representing Jesus was left hanging. He saw her looking at the wall, and the young man said, "Somehow I couldn't keep him there and those other pictures too." So they had to go. He made the right choice. It wasn't through a lecture that she gave him, but a simple demonstration of faith when she hung that other picture representing Christ. A commitment to Jesus Christ imposes on our conscience an inescapable mandate. It is unreasonable to imagine that we can linger in the presence of Christ while holding in our hearts the very things which sent him to the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Imagine that if you can. Maybe someone can answer this for me. At what temperature does water boil? 212. But is 212 really necessary? Surely water would eventually boil if it was a hot 160 or 75, wouldn't it? What? It wouldn't? It's hot, but not hot enough. Lukewarm in a Christian's living is about as effective as less than the necessary temperature in water you want to boil. No matter how long one continues warm, the effectiveness of Christian living will not take place, because it requires the heat of wholehearted commitment. Not sometimes commitment, not today's commitment or a week of commitment. Youth Week is coming up and many are going to be excited that aren't excited during the regular week. They look forward to coming to church. But other times, church again. And you know, they can smile with pleasure when they have a flat tire. Not because the tire's flat, but because now they've got a legitimate reason to not have to go to church. No matter how long one lives lukewarm, they will not be effective in their Christian living. Their influence on unsaved people will not win them to Christ. It may not be anything said or done. It's just the lack of the right spirit in a lukewarm person. A polite religion and a polite religious experience will not succeed. Needed is a continuing commitment. Continuing. Looked it up in the dictionary. You've noticed I like to do that quite frequently. Looked it up in the dictionary, and it says, by way of continuing, to go on. In other words, not stay where one was, but to go on, continuing. To remain. In other words, I'm not quitting. I'm remaining in what I've made a commitment to, continuing. But not just continuing, because you see, you can continue in lukewarm living, but lukewarm continuing is worse than being cold. Have you ever wondered how it is that God says lukewarm is worse than cold? Well, at least there's some warmth there. Yeah, but you see, God knows that the lukewarm Christian feels like they're really not that bad. And so when the Spirit of God brings conviction on the lukewarm Christian, well, they don't feel so convicted because of what they are doing. Whereas if there was a cold heart, when the Spirit comes, who one designation is as fire, when the Spirit comes, there is more to work with. Lukewarm. Turn to Revelation. The book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 3, you're familiar with this. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And that's misinterpreted then many times as the blessing of God. Would God have blessed me to be able to have all of these things if I was really that bad? Yeah, you know, you can get wealth without it being a blessing of God. Self can achieve a lot. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Trade in God's riches, true riches, in place of these false riches that were their self-satisfaction, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Boy, I'll tell you, the lukewarm Christian has so many areas of his life that are troubled. He can't see right. He doesn't realize that he's not clothed with the righteousness of God. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now that verse is frequently quoted in regards to salvation. And it can be applied in that manner. It can be applied. But its context is for Christians who are lukewarm. The context is for Christians who don't have as much together as they think they do. And Jesus says, I'm standing at the door of your heart, lukewarm Christian, and I'm knocking. If you'll let me in, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Now to him that overcometh, what about him that doesn't overcome? It says to him that overcomes, you can sit with him.
Yeah. Come on.
But that clearly infers him that doesn't overcome doesn't get to sit with him.
That's exactly right.
I believe this is also introducing the whole element that is addressed more clearly in other passages of Scripture, that there are those who claim to be Christians that aren't. The reason they would be described as lukewarm is because there's no possibility of heat. That's why he says, I'd rather you were hot or cold. Now, I just introduced a whole additional aspect to this matter, and I was not intending to deal with it. So I'm just going to have to leave it there. You could go read about it on your own. But the fact of the matter is, it's not just continuing, because to continue in a carnal state, because that's what lukewarm would be, a carnal state. Lukewarm is not just a lower level of spirituality. No, it's a carnality. And you can't be carnal and spiritual. You got to make a choice. God expects the believer in Jesus Christ to be committed, continuing commitment. Now, looked up committed, and that means to do, to give over to. So I'm committed to Wednesday night. So I give myself over to the performance of what's needed on a Wednesday night. That's preparation. That's contacting the pianist with the song that we're going to sing. It's taking the announcements and putting them in order, rather than just standing up here and saying, oh, by the way, I sort of remember something about, does anybody else know about that? No, it's not your job to give the announcements, it's mine. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't times that I know about something, but I don't have the details and I need help. But it's my task to put the announcements in order. It's my task to take the prayer lists that I do know about and put them in order here on all of these prayer request slips. That doesn't mean you won't have prayer requests. That doesn't mean that, but what I might need to ask you for something. But it's my task. Earlier, Sharon, I texted you, didn't I? Because last week, John said, pray for my nephew. He's got cancer. And learn from this, folks. Well, what's the nephew's name? I went before the Lord. I said, Lord, help John's nephew. You know, I'd really just as well like to pray for Vince Jr. on his own. Is that what the name is? I got it here in the notes. Stephen. It didn't ring quite right, but here it is. Yeah, here it is. Stephen Battis Jr. Because Sharon replied, she said his name's Stephen. Well, he's John's nephew, but which side of the family is it? Is it his, do you have a sister? John, do you have a sister? Okay, sister and a brother. So if it was his sister's son, and she's married, to me, I need to find all that stuff out. Because I want to pray for the guy. I want to feel like I know him. You see, the less you know someone, the less you'll pray. Or let me put it in positive. The more you know someone, the more you'll pray.
Amen.
Now, I've been praying for Rita, the widow lady that Shirley spoke of. But I haven't prayed as much as what Shirley has. Because Shirley knows Rita. You see? And so, when I can get a sense of Stephen Vadas Jr. Does your brother look like you, John? No. Okay, well, I can't get a point of reference that way then. And so, do you see the idea? That's my responsibility, to get that stuff ready before we get here. I was texting back and forth with Amy regarding Ronnie and his condition, and she gave me that nice update earlier, and then I was texting with her one night. I don't remember what it started out as, but I know that in the process she shared some things regarding her mother and her condition, and Ronnie and his improvement. He's going to be going, and he's going to get the stitches out. That's interesting to know. You see Ronnie here, with weird as it is, sling that he's wearing, and you figure, oh, well, he must be doing better. Yeah, but better doesn't mean good. And better doesn't mean he's healed. If he was healed, he wouldn't be walking around with that crazy sling on him. But he's gonna go, and he's going to get the stitches out. And just little by little, things will improve. But that's my job, to get these things in order. Harper Smith is a three-year-old. It's a granddaughter of Shirley Cook's. And she's got the disease, remember I said, similar to polio. Not polio, just similar to. It's a muscular disease. And she's not the first one in the family that had it. Found out from Shirley that there were some others in the family that have had it. Not just Harper Smith's family, but others in Shirley's family. And so, when I pray for Harper, she's not just a name. And was it in an email? No, you showed me out in the parking lot. She showed me a picture. I'm sure she has it if you'd like to see it. And it showed the child. There's a face now. There's a face with a name. Friends, the more you know someone, the more you'll pray for them. Don't feel guilty or convicted about not praying for someone you have no knowledge of, that you don't know about. The intensity of our praying will increase with our involvement with a person.
Amen.
And therefore, don't beat up on yourself because you haven't had the same prayer burden as somebody else that you've been talking to, who has that kind of involvement with a person. Committed. I'm committed to Wednesday night. This is a matter assumed by God, your commitment. Someone may be thinking, well, God shouldn't assume. Why not? When he called, you answered. And you got saved. Now, God won't force his way on us Christians, but that does not remove his ownership of us as Christians. And by virtue of his ownership, okay, he can't assume it. I looked around and looked back there, and I see Nate and Chelsea and Taryn. Now, they assume that when they give an instruction to Taryn, that he's going to do what? Follow it. Obey it. And when he doesn't, they'll remind him. And then they look and he still hasn't done it. Now what's going to happen? Well, probably the next step is to hear his middle name. You know how that goes when your parent, you know, they call your name, and then they might even call your first and last name. But when they use your middle name, you know that it's time to respond. Why? They just assume that he's going to obey their order. And God Almighty assumes that we are going to obey his orders. Let's take seriously this matter of the Lordship of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're familiar with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? You see, the Corinthian believers were not responding appropriately. So the Apostle Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? What? Don't you know that God's in you? And you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But I like the way it begins. What? What? If I can rephrase that somewhat, what? Why are you not living the way you ought to live? You're bought with a price. Jesus died for you. And you received him as your Savior. You wanted the forgiveness of sin. You wanted the salvation of your soul. You wanted heaven in the future, not hell. What? As a result of all of this, you ought to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Same book, chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Whatever you do, do it to God's glory so that people can get saved. Amen. So it's not a matter of making a choice that, well, I'd really rather do this, and I don't think it's all that bad. Listen, this matter of Christian living is not some light lifestyle choice. Right. Now, there is such a thing as a Christian lifestyle. However, as a believer, it's not a multiple choice thing. There's one choice. That is to glorify God. You are God's, and God will claim his own. Continuing commitment. Not just continuing as you are, but committed to Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1 to 11, he talks about, you know, verse 1, there's so many witnesses, and verse 4, if ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had some fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? Now no chastening, verse 11, for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. But afterwards, it's going to yield a fruit of righteousness lukewarm. Some have no heat whatsoever. They're not sons. And this passage points that out. Now, there's no intention to cause doubt, but fact. I recognize that growth is needed. If a person is weak, they need to grow so they can become strong. If they're a babe in Christ, they need to keep drinking milk of the Word so they can eat meat of the Word and become mature. If they're carnal, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, if they're carnal, then they need to live in such a way as to become spiritual. Continuing commitment. Not continuing as we are, but committed to Christ. Many start right, but not as many continue consistently. Starting is one thing, but finishing. Now, it's important to start. Starting is important, but finishing. There's a way in which I can say that's more important. Okay? That's more important. To finish as we ought to. Well, I trust some of what was shared tonight will be challenging. That's the intention. To challenge us. Not to rebuke. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We also call it conviction. But my intention is to challenge us to have a continuing commitment. Father in heaven, enable this to be so. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, Pastor.